I want to read from Ezekiel chapter 37. Don't panic, especially if you're in the PWA committee, that I'm going to keep you for a long time. I promise to be finished at 15:15. I'm going to try and keep that promise. So just a quick challenge from God's word as we finish this evening. Ezekiel chapter 37, and reading from verses 1 to 10. The title that my Bible has is The Valley of Dry Bones. Before I finish, I'm going to challenge that as the appropriate title. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and sent me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God of these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And they looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he had commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. As I have had the opportunity and privilege of traveling around Europe, I have to confess that very often it is easy to see Europe as a valley of dry bones. Just last week I was in Slovenia, a country roughly the same size as Northern Ireland, roughly the same population, about 2 million people. And in the country of Slovenia, they reckon there are about 2,000 believers. About 2,000 believers. Now, I would like to think that there were maybe 2,000 believers at church in Kilkeel this morning, in different churches. In a whole, can you imagine all of Northern Ireland with only that number of Christians? Slovenia is just north of Bosnia. Hard though it is to believe, Bosnia is worse. 5 million people. And there was a guy at the conference I was at, there was a guy there from Bosnia, he says, optimistically 500 believers. A valley of dry bones. And they are very dry. You know, across Europe, you're not bringing the gospel to people who have never heard it. They believe that kind of Europe has done that. We've had the gospel, we've had the church, we have moved beyond that. Hard, their hearts are hardened. And I know that you can imagine that, because I know that it's the same in Kilkeel. Is that not right? As you look around Kilkeel, do you not see a valley of dry bones? Do you not see people who are spiritually dead and have no spiritual interest, and they're dry, and it just seems like nothing? And so God comes to Ezekiel. He shows him this vision of the valley of dry bones. And he comes with the question. In a sense, I want to come to you with the same question. Can these dry bones live? Now, what's the right answer? I've a picture, somewhat gruesome picture, I suppose, of dry bones here. Somebody, if you could see that picture in real life and somebody said to you, can these dry bones live? What's the right answer? No. No. Dry bones don't come back to life. So therefore, actually, the first few times I read this, I thought, well, Ezekiel is kind of it's almost a politician's answer when he says, ah, Lord God, you alone know. Actually, it's an answer of great faith, because the answer is no, dry bones don't come to life. And I want to try and answer that question for you. Can these dry bones live? By telling you a couple of stories. Maybe you could have the next slide, please. I'm not sure where my clicker is. Who's going? Aye, no, that's okay. I want to introduce you to Esat. Thanks. Esat comes from Kosovo, where Dan and Primrose are ministering. Actually comes from the town of Paya, where Dan and Primrose was for a number of years. You'll be aware maybe that there was a civil war in that country. And Esat was an Albanian. When the Serbians came into his town, his family had already moved out. He had stayed behind to protect his property. And he himself would say that at that stage he was a very proud man. He was a bodybuilder, had won national prizes for bodybuilding. He was a businessman, had done well in business. He was a proud of his own achievements, a proud of his physique, proud of his business achievements. But the Serbians came in, they burnt his house down, they dragged him out of the street, and he says, but for the intervention of a Serbian neighbour, he was going to be shot. And he fled to Albania with literally the clothes on his back. No longer such a strong and proud man. In Albania, he needed help, and there was a big international aid operation going on. He got help from a Christian organization. In fact, they saw the potential that he had. They needed people to help them in giving out the aid. They actually employed him. So he ended up working alongside Christians who had come to give out this aid. He was from a Muslim background. And obviously, as they worked together, he asked the obvious question. Why are you Christians here helping us Muslims with this aid? And they shared the gospel. And over a period of months, the bones came together. And flesh came on those bones. As the gospel was shared, as he observed others living out the gospel, as he asked questions, and eventually one day, the Spirit of the Sovereign God spoke life into this man. Today, Esat is a leader in the church in Paya. Actually, has been using his bodybuilding reputation as a way of outreach to sort of the local Muslim hard guys. And having a very effective ministry with them. Can these dry bones live? This is Manuel. Manuel's from southern Spain, from Cordoba. He grew up as a Catholic. Everybody in southern Spain was a Catholic. Didn't mean an awful lot to him. In his teenage years, got involved with alcohol, with drug abuse. He got married. After a few years, his marriage fell apart because of his drug abuse. His life was at a very low ebb. And he heard about a group that called themselves the Good Samaritan Center that helped people like him, people that were struggling with drugs. He heard that they had some sort of funny religion, but he thought, well, you know, I'll go, I'll get the help, I'll get sorted out off the drugs, and I don't need any of that religious stuff. You know, I'll be able to resist that. The Good Samaritan Center is a drug rehabilitation center run by ECM missionaries. Manuel went along and they helped him. They gave him some discipline in his life. And the spiritual side of things at the center, they wasn't compulsory, but he observed others, including some of the other men that were in there in the prayer meetings and the Bible studies as they praised. And he couldn't help but start to ask questions. You know, the bones were starting to rattle. And yes, he resisted for about 6 months. But bone came together with bone, and flesh came on those bones. And the Spirit of the living God spoke into Manuel's life. Today, he's in leadership in a church in Spain. He went to find his now ex-wife, and they were remarried in a ceremony, in a proper Christian marriage. She became a Christian, and actually quite a few of his family have also become Christians. Can these dry bones live? I'll tell you many more stories, which we don't have time to do, but you know, the not all of them spectacular stories. No, some of them of what we might call ordinary people. Can these dry bones live? Yes. You alone know, Lord. And yet he gives us a responsibility. He says to Ezekiel, go and preach. I believe that God gives us a responsibility. He gives us that responsibility to go and to preach. But ultimately, it is the movement of the Holy Spirit that brings people to faith in Christ. And so we pray. It's one of the reasons that we're asking you to join with us in prayer. Can you be involved? Yes, you can. Through prayer. Through supporting somebody like Aisling financially. Through encouragement of missionaries. And yet we depend on the movement of the living God. But let us not be discouraged. The end of this story is not one of a valley of dry bones. And we get to verse 10. It's a great army that God is raising up. That's why I said I wanted to challenge the title. Maybe the proper title is not the Valley of Dry Bones, but the story of the exceeding great army. I believe God is at work in Europe. I believe that we all can be part of that. And I want to thank you just for hearing us this evening. And I'm going to close in prayer. And then we'll go out to the door here. And if you want to speak to us or to Aislinn or to... we have information on the table. We'd be very happy to speak to you. So again, just thank you for your patience. Father, we thank you that you are the same God as spoke to Ezekiel. We thank you that you are a God who still brings dry bones to life. We thank you that you are the God who has brought our dry bones to life. And pray just give us that faith to be responsive to your call, to preach your word, to support those who are, in a sense, in the front line preaching your word, to pray with the faith that there is a God who can bring dry bones to life. We thank you for the witness of this place here in Kilkeel, and we pray too, as they reach into the dry bones of Kilkeel, that you would bring life. Thank you for blessing us, and part us now in your fear and with your favor. Amen.